We're going to look at Jehovah's Witnesses tonight, and I'd like you to, let's see if I can get all organized here. And I'd like you to go to Isaiah chapter 43, Isaiah chapter 43. You want one? The camcorder? I think I left it at the house. I didn't want to record the video. Okay. How many of you have ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Now, you know what? You know what? Raise your hands again. Let me see. How many of you have ever had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? All right, put your hands down. How many of you have never had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? Nathan, they've never knocked on your door ever that you know of? Never knocked on your door? Wow. Okay. Now, that's two out of a room of about 50 some odd, okay? I have to admit, they are effective. Everybody's experiencing it. Now, my goal is that anybody I meet with and I talk to, they ought to know they talk to a born-again Christian. I tell them I'm a born-again Christian. So that if somebody ever says, you ever meet a born-again? Oh, yeah, I met a born-again Christian. Yeah, he was an American and he had a bad accent and all this stuff. But they ought to know that they met a born-again Christian. But the majority of people can say, I've met a Jehovah's Witness. And they terrify people. They absolutely terrify them. I want to give you some background on them over the next 2 weeks. And help you understand them, maybe give you some compassion for them, because there's some things about each one of these cults that ought to break your heart. Okay, and I'll talk about it in just a few minutes. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses were begun by a man named Charles Taze Russell. I think they invented the taser after him. Back in 1872, he was born back in 1852 to a Presbyterian minister. In those days, Presbyterians believed the Bible. Okay, they were hyper-Calvinists in some ways, but they believed the Bible. But this son of a Presbyterian minister had some great difficulty with four main doctrines of the Bible. One of them was the doctrine of eternal hellfire. He did not like the fact that people were going to go to a hellfire and burn in there forever. He did not like the Trinity. He had great difficulty with Jesus being God and yet man. And he had a great problem with the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he turned 18, he decided, I got my own ideas. And so he began to popularize his ideas and by having a Bible class in the United States in a place called Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he began to publish a magazine called The Herald of the Morning. In 1884, he started another publication called The Watchtower Announcing Jehovah's Kingdom. And founded a group called the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Do you know the first edition of the Watchtower magazine only had 6,000 copies being printed every month? That's where he started. 6,000 copies of his magazine going out, posted out, handed out, people reading it today. In their publishing complex in Brooklyn, New York, they publish 100,000 books, and 800,000 copies of its magazines every day. Every day, 900,000 books and magazines are published and shipped out. Now, going on about this man, and it just bothers me because I don't understand it. I mean, wow, I preach about Jesus Christ and people are ho-hum. This guy gets up there and he claimed that the Bible could only be understood according to his interpretations, and he had a load of them and people flocked to him. Does that tell you about the human heart? See, if I wanted to really grow a church, I'd have some amazing revelations. Some people will start coming out to hear my amazing revelation. You know, the world likes its own. But if it's a revelation from God, it's funny. Bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me. Now, after his death, he got replaced. You'll always be replaced. Okay? After his death on October 31st, why did he die on Halloween? I don't know. But after his death on October 31st, 1916, a lawyer, always watch the lawyers, named Joseph Franklin Rutherford, took over. And he renamed what was then called and known as the International Bible Students Association to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, according to 2014 statistics, They published a number. They say that their worldwide membership has exceeded 19.9 million people. These people, if you meet a Jehovah's Witness, they are directed and led by a governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, wait. Yep. Already got that. They are led by the governing body of Jehovah's Witnesses, which are a group of elders in Brooklyn, New York, which establishes all their doctrine and all the interpretations of the Bible. You cannot come with your own understanding. You have to get theirs. You know, that's funny. You know what Brooklyn, New York is to a Jehovah's Witness? That is their Mecca. Where's the headquarters for the Roman Catholic Church? Rome. Isn't that funny? Where do the Mormons have their headquarters? Salt Lake City. Where does Scientology have its headquarters? They have two main headquarters. One of them's in Los Angeles, the other one's in England over in St. Hill. Where's a Bible Believer's headquarters? Doesn't have one. It's a local church where we're under the book and we all learn it together. There's not some headquarter telling us what to believe. It's the book that tells us what to believe. We're different. You understand that? Now, of all things, they've got to have their own translation. You always wonder about people who have to change the Bible or even put out their own Bible. And so they put out their own Bible. It's called the New World Translation of the Holy Scriptures. And they claim, this is always the strange thing, you always wonder about people like this, but they claim that all other Christian denominations are false and an abomination to God. Where have you heard that before? Mormons do that. Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And when you found that, find Acts chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 12. Isaiah, and then Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at two verses in Isaiah, but then we're going to go to Acts chapter 4. All right. Isaiah 43, and this is where they get their idea for Jehovah's Witnesses. Isaiah 43, verse 12 says this, I have declared, this is God talking, and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my, what's the word? My witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. So, Jehovah's Witness comes and says, see, I'm a witness. Because they found the word witness in the Bible. You know, in Job chapter 36, it has the word crag in it. C-R-A-G. That means I'm in the Bible, right? Craig, crag, that's what comes from the same root. Go to chapter 44 and verse 8. Isaiah 44, verse 8, fear ye not. This is why they get rid of the Trinity. This is why they don't believe in any kind of possibility for Jesus to be God. Fear ye not, neither be ye afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my, what's the next word? Is there a God beside me? Hey, there is no God, I know not any. Charles Russell, Jesus was another God. And he said, that can't be possible. And that's not true. Was Jesus another God? No. Now, I need you to go to Acts, please. Acts, chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Acts, chapter 4 and verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of who? Not Jehovah. But by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. They just healed a man, chapter 3. This person, this Jesus, is the stone which was set at naught by you builders, of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. And here's the key. This is a good verse for a Jehovah's Witness. Because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You don't get saved by Jehovah. You get saved by what name? Jesus Christ. All right. So let me give you Jehovah's Witnesses in a nutshell. Whatever happened to the bottom there. Jehovah's Witnesses in a nutshell. And I wish it was a very small nutshell, but it has some stuff in it. First of all, to a Jehovah's Witness, according to Jehovah's Witness theology, God is a single person, not a Trinity. And this ought to freak you out. As far as they're concerned, God does not know everything. That's scary. Because if He doesn't know what's going on, nobody does. Amen? Third thing, to a Jehovah's Witness, He is not everywhere. That is crazy. Jehovah's Witness theology states that God first made Michael the archangel, through whom He created all other things, and it took God 42,000 years. Okay. Now that's not even the funniest thing. For the first 30 years, while Charles Taze Russell was teaching, they taught that God ruled the universe from somewhere in the Pleiades star system. Where are you? Ah, there we are. Oh, go back. This is one of the most beautiful little constellations in the entire evening sky. If you ever go out in this, usually it's in the winter, you can see it a lot of the time most of the year, but if you ever go outside on a clear night and you see a patch, it looks kind of fuzzy, and if you just let your eyes adjust, you'll start to distinguish individual stars in this patch of fuzz. And there's about 20 some odd stars all in this one little group of stars, and it's beautiful. They're called the Pleiades. The Bible actually mentions it. And the Watchtower Society taught that God ruled the universe from there. Now they actually say this. They actually went, oops, we kind of were wrong. Pleiades can no longer be considered the center of the universe. It would be unwise for us to try to fix God's throne as being in a particular spot in the universe. Obviously, God doesn't live in the universe. He's the creator of the universe. Listen, the idea that ought to just get your attention is anybody who starts, you're going to see some wacko things with cults and stuff, and they start to pinpoint, I think God lived there. Where did the Mormons think God was from? Another star and a planet. What was it called? Kobol or something like that? Kolob, that's it. Now, I get that confused with where Superman was from, you know, Krypton and all this stuff. All right, let's go back here. Let's see, where's my list? Yeah. After Adam's sin, get to this other thing here. After Adam's sin, paradise was ruined. So Jehovah's Witness, they find in the Bible that paradise was ruined, so God had to create a system where people could get saved. And it would ultimately lead to the coming of Jesus the Messiah. But until that time, God had to have an organization. They kept using this, an organization that would keep order. And throughout history, this true organization had a remnant of faithful Jehovah's Witnesses. Noah was a Jehovah's Witness. Abraham was a Jehovah's Witness. Moses was a Jehovah's Witness. David was a Jehovah's Witness. You know what the problem with that? Abraham was the first Jew. David was a Jew. You don't claim these guys. Listen, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a dumb dog Gentile. I'm reading a Jewish book. I'm believing a Jewish Savior. I'm following the words of a book that is not written by Americans. You understand what I'm saying? And to say that Abraham was an American and that Noah was an American is the same way as them saying that they were Jehovah's Witnesses. Again, every one of these cults claim Noah was a Mormon. Well, he wasn't. Well, he wasn't at all. He was he was before Abraham. He wasn't even a Jew. So they pick this thing up and they start twisting people's understanding. And that organization finally has focused itself in Brooklyn, New York. Why does every alien land in America, and why do all cults seem to come from America? Does that bother you? It bothers me. Right. It's true. Every alien lands. Why come they don't land in France or somewhere, you know, where they can stay and have fun? Anyway, aliens and cults. Now, to a Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is only an angel. You got to get this. To you, Jesus is Lord and Savior. Amen? But to a Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is not important. When it came time for a Savior to be born, Michael the Archangel was ordered by God to become a human. And he became Jesus. Okay? Jesus grew and he kept all the laws of God and he never sinned. And finally, when he died, it was not on a cross, but on what they called a torture stake. So his hands were up like this. It was just a stick in the ground. His hands were up, not like that. Wow, that's a big doctrinal difference. But they make a big deal out of it. Like I said this morning, they say, cross is pagan. Of course it's pagan. It's invented by Romans, okay? Good night. But when he died, he didn't die for the sins of Adam. He only died for the sins of mankind since the fall. You have to make up for the sins that you inherited, and that's a big, crazy thing. Now, when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't rise physically. His body, in 3 days, disintegrated. It was dust. Bye-bye. To Jehovah's Witness, Jesus rose only as a spirit, and when he would visit people on earth, he would temporarily become physical. Stick your finger in my hand here and your hand in my side. I'm going to become real. Okay. All right, now I'm back a spirit again. What is going on? To them, Christianity is in ruins. To a Jehovah's Witness, throughout history, there have been faithful Jehovah's Witnesses who have managed to keep the truth in spite of, here we go, the demonic doctrine of Trinitarianism that has permeated the Christian church. Christendom is filled with pastors who are antichrists. Churches that are run by Satan. And all who support earthly governments, which are all of the devil. Really? Why does the Bible tell me I'm supposed to pray for my leader? Why does the Bible say for me to submit to every ordinance of man? Why does it tell me that? I don't sit there and walk around and think that every part of the government is of the devil. It is not. The Bible says, go to Romans. Hold your Bible here. Wait, I'll get further in this thing. But I want to take you to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now that means your parents, if you're a child or a teenager, your parents are higher authority. But anybody who has authority above you, subject yourself unto them. For there is no power but of who? Alright, so who put Enda Kenny in office? That's a scary thought. Who put Vladimir Putin in office? God did. Alright? Now I know a lot of people voted, and I hope that, folks, I hope that we take our vote seriously. But in the end, who's in control? God is. All power is of God. And if you want a different government, you better pray and vote. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, you're actually resisting the ordinance, the commandment of God, and they that resist are received to themselves damnation. You're working against the wrong power. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? I want to see how bold you are when you're speeding and you go, oh, I don't believe in the authority of the Garda. When they pull up behind you with their little blue lights, I bet your heart begins to beat a little faster. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of who? All right. I don't like Enda Kenny's current stand on same-sex marriage. I really don't appreciate almost anything he's doing. I really don't. I definitely don't appreciate anything that Barack Obama is doing. Got an amen out of it. First I get a, and now I get an amen. I don't like what Putin is doing. I don't like what, listen, but if you look at that verse, it says that those people are the minister of God. I don't understand that. But I have no right to call for their death. Would you understand what I'm saying? I have no right to call for a riot to go against that authority. Would you understand that? All right. I may not like it. I can voice my opinion. But I must. As long as they don't tell me to do something that's against the Bible, I must do what they say. In America, they made a speed limit there back in the 1970s. It was pure torture. They went from a lot of roads didn't even have speed limits. Then all of a sudden, it was 55 miles an hour, coast to coast. And there were roads that you could see 30 miles ahead. And you had to go 55 miles an hour. Do you know what Christians had to do? 55 miles an hour. Even though the car could go 120, even though there was no other car on the road and you felt like it was safe, you had to obey the law, amen? Because it was not against the Bible to go 55 miles an hour. Now there was a smart man. His name was Ronald Reagan. He raised the speed limit up to 70 and it was great again, amen? All right, so. They are the ministers of God. So when the Jehovah's Witnesses, when you talk to them, they'll say that all governments are evil. This verse says they are the ministers of God. Just like a glove on the hand, they're doing God's will. They're not perfect, they're not saved, but God is using them. God turns the head of the king, doesn't he? And the heart. All right. In other words, all of Christianity to a Jehovah's Witness is false, and it's only the Jehovah's Witnesses that can lead the world through Brooklyn, New York. Now, they do have kind of a strange thing that somewhat I agree with, and that is that basically the future is our only hope. Now, what they mean is that when Jesus comes back, and I kind of agree with that. Guess what? That's kind of true. The only way this world is ever going to get better is if Jesus Christ is ruling. Amen? So they get that, and they started with that thought, but they went crazy, because in 1914, Charles Russell sat down and he said back in the late 1800s, he said, I believe Jesus is coming back in 1914. Now, he had a very convenient event happen in 1914 that got a lot of people to believe. And you might know what happened in 1914. Raise your hand. It said, raise your hand. World War I. A lot of people joined the Jehovah's Witnesses because it seemed like the end of the world. What did they call World War I? The war to end all war. Guess what? They were wrong. After World War I, there was World War II. After World War II, there was the Korean conflict, the Vietnam War, and the Persian Gulf War, and on and on and on and on. But he said that Jesus would come back, and when 1914 came and left, he said, well, he's here. We just can't see him. I laugh, and I want you to understand, pride will keep you from ever admitting you're wrong. Amen. And that group has been through about 15 major embarrassments of prophecies, on 15 major ones, about 50 minor ones, but about 15 major front page prophecies in the New York Times and the major London Times advertising that Jesus is coming back such a year. The year comes and went, and they went, Jesus is coming back next year. And they kept prophesying, and it never came true. I've only seen one religious organization start off wrong and get right. How many of you have ever heard of a group called the Worldwide Church of God? They're a wacko group years ago. They believe that the Brits were really the long-lost tribes of Israel. Okay. You know, about 1986, 1987, the president of it said, I have to admit, I got in charge of this thing, this organization, and started to see the Bible just does not line up with what we're teaching. We are changing. And I don't remember his name, and this was just off the cuff,
But he, no, Armstrong was the one that taught the world tomorrow, and he taught all these crazy cultic ideas. But the leader, and he's still Koch, I think is his last name, he got up and he said, we have been wrong. We are now preaching, and if you're going to be a pastor in our groups, you're going to preach, you must be born again. And if you're going to teach, you're going to teach only from the Bible. And I mean, it created bedlam. But that group, of cultic group, changed and got right with God. I've only seen it in history once. You know what keeps people locked into their darkness? Pride. You're the same. If I came to you and I says, you know, you're wrong about, oh, I am not wrong. We are that way. That's how we are. So the Jehovah's Witness, they say the future is the only hope. They got that right, but then they keep trying to tell you the future is starting next year. I have to tell you this. Remember the second leader's name? I can't remember his name. Help me out here. What was his name? Rutherford. Thank you. Rutherford, he was so influential and so powerful. And people gave him money like it was water. He didn't know what to do with it, so he started buying houses. And he started buying houses, and he started to tell everybody, I'm buying these houses for the resurrection. Because very soon, David's going to be resurrected, and he's going to need a place to stay, and so I want to have a house for him. And he says, he actually wrote out deeds where he said, the owner of this house is Samson. The owner of this house is David. So that he didn't have to pay taxes on it. He got away with it, folks. They taught that all of these Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected. And are they going to be resurrected? Yes or no? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. David's going to be king again in Israel. The Bible says that. I believe that. Boy, they took a truth and they twisted it, folks. How many of you ever heard of the 144,000 in the book of Revelation? 144,000. Guess who the Jehovah's Witnesses think they are? 144,000. But you can only be one of those witnesses if you are really, 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 really good. Sound like a saint to me. And as far as the Jehovah's Witnesses, they actually said the number of 144,000 finished up back in 1975, 1976. There's no more coming in. That group is finished. The rest of us, we're secondary citizens. And they really believe that. Now, when you start to study with the Jehovah's Witnesses, if they ever came to your door and they ever got you to study, they start by getting you to agree to attend 5 meetings a week. You think coming to church 2 or 3 times a week is bad? And guess what you're taught from? The Bible, Watchtower articles, and materials. You cannot be baptized until you've studied for 6 months, 5 days a week, and been examined by a panel of elders before you get baptized. Hey, I'd like to see the Ethiopian eunuch. How long did it take once he got saved before he got baptized? Yeah, as soon as he got saved, he was in the water. Amen? I don't understand. A little Bible can cure up a lot of confusion. Amen? And as usual, you cannot leave. Once you're a Jehovah's Witness, I mean the pressure is on. You cannot leave. Now, just a few of the false doctrines here. Again, what's the false thing? And I'm just going to teach on one thing, and we'll be through. And if you've got questions, I think about them. I'll ask for just a few minutes. Source of authority. Where is their authority? As I said, this building is one of the headquarter building in Brooklyn, New York. You drive along on a highway that goes right alongside, and it says, read the Bible every day. That's a good thing, amen? But they mean their Bible. And they mean to get you to think that you know, if you look to them, they'll teach you the Bible. But you know what's amazing? They're, let me see what I'm doing here and whether I want to. I'm going to talk about just their source of authority, but what's wrong with Jehovah's Witnesses is they have a headquarters that tells them what to believe. They have their own Bible so that they can change all the doctrine they want. What's wrong with them is their view on the Trinity. How many of you have ever heard that a Jehovah's Witness can never have a blood transfusion? And that's deadly. What's wrong with them is their view of who Jesus Christ is. The Holy Spirit is not a person to a Jehovah's Witness. The Holy Spirit is like electricity to a Jehovah's Witness. It's a powerful force. It's not a person. One of the craziest things is how to be saved. Ask a Jehovah's Witness how to get saved. Just ask him. It'll take him 45 minutes to make it clear. You know how long it take me to make it clear? About 6. Maybe 5 minutes. I can show you, verses in the Bible, how to get saved. Death and eternity. One of the things that's very grieving is the fact that they conveniently promote that says that hell is not eternal. When you die, if you are not good enough, you are burnt up. You know, a lot of people like to go to a place like that. A lot of people like to die and it'd be over with. They don't want to live anymore and they don't want to face God's judgment. They would welcome annihilation and constant false prophecies. They made so many prophecies. We'll talk about those next week. Let me talk very quickly about their source of authority. These are their magazines that they put out. It's called Awake and the Watchtower and stuff. Listen to this. The thing about their source of authority is they discourage any kind of deep Bible study. A quote from their magazines. We may think of study as hard work, like heavy research, but in Jehovah's organization, it is not necessary to spend a lot of time and energy in research. For there are brothers in the organization who are assigned to do that very thing to help you who do not have so much time for this. These are preparing the good material in the Watchtower and other publication society. Now here's the thing. You know what they just did? They just told you what every Catholic already believes. I don't have time to read the Bible. I trust my priest. So Jehovah's Witness says, I just read the magazine. They've already done all the study for me. Isn't that a lie of the devil? Don't you? You don't have to read it. You don't have to know the truth. The truth doesn't make you free. The leader makes you free. They discourage deep Bible study. Here's another one. The majority of time that people spend in Jehovah's Witnesses materials, let me just quote here. The majority of time spent in study by Jehovah's Witnesses is always based around Watchtower material, not the Bible. And that material is always careful to present the Bible the Watchtower way. Hey, folks, where do we get this Bible from? It's an English Bible. It's the Church of England put it out. It's not a Baptist book, is it? You ever think about it? We're basing all of our doctrines on something that is not under our control. You don't ever have me stand up and say, well, you know, it'd be better if I translated this word that way and we got rid of this verse. We really don't agree with such and such. It doesn't work that way. And yet, every time a Jehovah's Witness sits down, they always put the Bible to the side, they open it up, but it's always the Watchtower materials. Listen to these words in the Watchtower again. It said, fight against independent thinking. If we get to thinking that we know better than the organization, we should ask ourselves, where did we learn the Bible truth in the first place? Would we know the way of truth if it had not been for the guidance of the Jehovah's Witness organization? Really, can we not get along with just God's organization? Jehovah's Witnesses don't study the Bible, they study the materials by their organization. Secondly, they give total allegiance to the dictates of their ruling organization. Whatever they say to believe, they believe. They use their own translation, the New World Translation. And the New World Translation, as anybody has ever looked at it in their Greek, their quote scholars never had any adequate schooling or background to ever be able to translate. It's quite humorous, but people believe that it's an accurate translation of the Bible. Now, God's Word, let's go and let's just finish up here, and I'm finished here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's get some Bible here. Don't you like to get back into the Bible? Get sick of listening to all this stuff. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. What does the Bible say about the organization and about interpretation and about people telling you what to believe? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Let's see, Brother Martin, would you read that real loud? All right, so who's supposed to do the studying? Yourself, because you're going to stand before God. Don't you rely on pastor study. Don't you rely on an organization study. Don't you rely on study material and books and the internet. You study. So the Bible says, study to show yourself approved to God. John chapter 14. Andrew, would you read John chapter 14, verse 26? Listen to the words of Jesus Christ. John 14, 26. So what is the Holy Spirit capable of teaching some dumb Michigander like you? I said that in love. Don't worry. He'll teach you all things. Isn't that amazing? If you got a Bible, you got some time praying. Now, it may take a while. You may be confused about a lot of things, but He can teach you all things. The Holy Spirit does the teaching. Acts 20, 32. Acts 20, verse 32. Brother Darren, would you read Acts 20, verse 32? All right, now a sanctified person in the Bible is a saint. So, Brother Darren, how do I reach sainthood? How do I get equal to all the saints in the Bible? Get saved and follow the Bible. Paul says, I'm leaving. I can't stay with you, so I'm going to give you over to God and to the word of His grace, and it is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance. There's nobody who can outdo you because you all have the same material. You all have the same source, the Bible. Amen? Paul had nothing else to give them but the Word of God. Was that enough? Amen. How many have a Bible? Let me see your hand. Guess what you have? Enough. Amen. Let's go to Acts 20, 32. And then, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing wrong. That wasn't supposed to be there at the same time, but there's nothing wrong with guides. Hey, what did the Ethiopian eunuch say to Philip? When Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest, what did the eunuch say back? How can I understand except some man guide me? Is there something wrong with somebody guiding somebody else, showing them where things are in the Bible, showing them, let me show you a few things. Nothing wrong with a guide. That's what a soul winner is. There's nothing wrong with pastors. There's nothing wrong with teachers. As a matter of fact, pastors and teachers are offices in the church. We pastor, we shepherd. There are teachers. But there is something really wrong with private interpreters. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. Two more verses and we're done. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Let's see, Brother Paul. Paul Layton, would you read 2 Peter 1 and verse 20? Right. Private means I can't go along and say, I just discovered what that means. And nobody else can correct me. I'm the authority. No, not true. You know what? This church is a very unusual church because we come to the Bible and either we see it or we don't. That's called freedom. I can teach you as best I can, but if you don't see it, I can't hold you responsible for it. I try to teach you what it says, but I cannot interpret it for you. It has to make the same sense. I remember witnessing to my dad time and time and time again, and each time he would bring up, well, that's just your interpretation. Well, that's just your interpretation. And I got frustrated. And I finally said, all right, Dad, interpret this. There is none righteous, no, not one. And he couldn't. He said, well, that's just your interpretation. I said, that's not an interpretation. I'm quoting it. Tell me, what does it mean? I don't know. I will not, as was the actual answer. Folks, there's no private interpretation. No secret leader like Charles Taze Russell showing important things to come. Charles Russell got infatuated with the pyramids. And he started to find out how tall they were and how they were designed and the angles. And he said, God has revealed the future in the pyramids. And he wrote books about it and he sold them by the tens and hundreds of thousands. The future's not in the pyramids. The future's in the Bible. Amen? And you know what? It's not that hard. Jesus is coming again. When? We don't know. And if any man, like Charles Taze Russell and Judge Rutherford, if they ever say, we know the date, we know the hour, what do we know? They're a liar. Because Jesus said, no man knows. So we'll look more at that a little bit more next week. Let me just finish up here with a couple of thoughts. We're going to examine a few more of the false doctrines just to prepare you so that when you talk to them, folks, the Jehovah's Witnesses have no competition. When they come to the door, the only thing they face is rejection. And they have a motto. And they put it on their websites and they put it on their documents and they say, and you will be the objects of hatred by all people on account of my name. And so they really take great pride in being rejected. Maybe we need to have a taste of that. But they really, really, over and over they go, oh, if they reject me, I must be doing something right. They need a little competition where somebody says, can I ask you a question? They need a little competition because there are plenty of questions they've never been asked and never even asked themselves because they are lost, folks. And they are dedicated. They're more dedicated than your grandmother was to the Catholic Church. And they're lost. They're trying to work their way to heaven. And they'll end up in hell. Folks, they are not Christians. They don't follow Jesus Christ. Who do they follow? A Jehovah. They teach a works-based method for forgiveness and salvation. And they're a cult. They don't like being called that. But they are. Next week, I'll talk to you about how to witness to a Jehovah's Witness and how to win them to Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest verses to show them is Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you saved tonight? You got saved through Jesus Christ. And the Jehovah's Witness doesn't know that, doesn't know how that can be. How can you claim to have eternal life? How can you claim to have the gift? Only the best of the best can have it. All right, anybody got a question before we close in a song? Yes, Jennifer. Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, they're more adamant to never take your literature. If they do, it's because they're trying to act like they're, you know, being nice, but they're not allowed to read anything or study anything that crosses with their organization. It's just like a Catholic. Years ago, how many of you grew up in an environment where it was the worst and gravest and most awful sin to go into a Protestant church? Yeah. You were never allowed. Wow. I know of years gone by where if there was a Catholic school and a Protestant school, if the Protestants were walking down the street, the Catholics were walking down the street, they both had to get on each side of the road and pass each other and never come in contact with each other. Well, that's how the Jehovah's Witnesses are. Oh, you are a non-Jehovah's Witness. You are going to be burnt up. That's how they see you. So when you try to give them material, they're like, you're deceived right off the bat. So you need to have some smart, strong questions for them if you want to care about them. I am not doing this so that we all have an arrogant attitude towards all the cults. I'm trying to do this so that you're not tricked into thinking they're Christian. And secondly, so that you win them to Jesus Christ. You can win Muslims, folks. You can win Mormons. You can win anybody. If they're still breathing, they can be won to Christ. Martin. That's right. I'll say this, okay, they have a list of sins, and they have a standard of what they consider righteousness, like the Mormons, right, things that they can and cannot do. They believe it is the unpardonable sin to take blood, okay, that will condemn you forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. That's why they're terrified of letting anybody put blood in the transfusion, so on and so forth. So they have a set of things that that are wrong to do. If you do this, if you do break, like if you have an extramarital affair, right, it's almost impossible for you to get right. It is scary how legalistic it is in their mindset. Once you're in, you can't fall or you're out. Now, they have a way, and it's really extreme and very painful to watch as they really, really make people grovel. Alright? There's no forgiveness without you first getting the forgiveness of your local kingdom hall. So their attitude of repentance is they're terrified of ever sinning, because if they ever sin, they're not sure they'll ever make it back. You understand how it works? So it's not like we go out and we talk to sinners. We try to tell them, you can be saved. There's hope. But they don't have hope. Their only hope is Jesus coming back and burning up everybody. That's their hope. All right? That answer you? So they really don't have the right idea of repentance. They put the fear of God in people, but it's a fear of just being burnt up. Any other questions? Let me get Marcus, and I'll come back to you, Jennifer. They believe that Jesus was crucified for almost all sins, but not for original sin, not for the sin of Adam, and that you still carry that, and therefore you're still in trouble with God. Even if you're following Jesus, you also have to follow Jehovah, and really you have to put Jesus aside and just focus on obeying Jehovah. Because Jesus died so that you could follow Jehovah. And really, they don't know how to mix the two of them. Jesus was just an angel in the flesh. So their faith is not in him. Yes, Jennifer. It's twisted. It's... Yes. No, that's not true. They do believe a lie is sin, unless you're lying to protect the organization. Everybody always believes you got to protect the organization. But they do believe lying is sin. They believe the Ten Commandments. They believe adultery is wrong. They're not making up those things and or throwing them away. But they have other things. And they make it so that if you ever do lie, it's almost impossible to get it forgiven. But I found out the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, again, a little Bible will always clarify a lot of confusion. Barry, now he's going to crucify me because he knows how to deal with Jehovah's Witnesses. Go ahead. Wow. I don't believe that somebody can be saved believing that Jesus was an angel. So if you don't believe the Trinity, you don't believe that Jesus was God come in the flesh. Now, let me say this. To believe does not mean understand. Sometimes I just believe even though I don't understand, and that's sufficient. So a child 8 years old doesn't understand the size, the length, the width, the height of the universe, but they believe it's big. And they don't understand God and the Trinity, but they believe it. And so I don't know how somebody could ever be saved under New Testament conditions without believing that Jesus is God. Because all other beliefs, if you make Jesus anybody else, go to Galatians chapter 1. All other conclusions, if Jesus is not God, everything else that you imagine about Jesus Christ is heresy. Galatians chapter 1. In verse 6. I don't know if this is the best, but this one just comes to mind. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him, Jesus, that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another. There are no other gospels but one. But you've been pulled to another gospel. But there be some that trouble you, like Jehovah's Witnesses, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said, therefore, I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Go back to your left. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you one husband, I'm marrying you off to one man, one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh, talking about knocking on the door, if somebody else comes along, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, Scientologist, anybody, if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye end up receiving another spirit, which ye have not received already before, or start to believe another gospel, which ye have not accepted, you might well bear with him. You might actually like him. And Paul says, I'm worried about you, that you might allow yourself to believe another Jesus. So, any other Jesus than the simplicity that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he is Emmanuel, that he is the fulfillment of the virgin-born Son of God, who was, the only way to answer it is God became man, not an angel. If you change it and you believe anything else, I don't know how you're saved. I don't know, because then you believe Jesus is not really the mediator of the Savior. God has to be both judge. Sorry, let me turn it around. God has to first be just, righteous, and the justifier. He has to be the one that not only judges, but fixes the judgment for our sin. So he had to become a man to do that. All right, is that answer? Okay, so I believe that there are confused Catholics who are saved. They're like scratching their heads looking at statues and going through the motions, but in their heart of heart, when they were younger or whatever, and somebody got a gospel tract to them, they're still in the Catholic Church, but they got saved because they asked, they cried out to Jesus Christ, and they believed on him. They just don't know any better. There are confused people in their doctrines that they're being taught, but they believe Jesus Christ, because that's what it takes to get saved. No church can save. So a lot of people, and you know some of them, they're saved, they just haven't come out of the Catholic Church yet. Or they haven't come out of some other groups. All right, any other questions? I don't want to belabor this. Yes, sir. Or understand it. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm... Mm-hmm. And I'm very careful, yes, because that's where you get into a danger. The line is drawn that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, who Jesus is in the Trinity, you'll have to fully understand. But I would never accept that somebody who's taught that, and by the way, Jesus is just a good man, or Jesus was just an angel, well, that just damned them. But if you teach them the Lord Jesus Christ, that puts them very high standard of who he was, even though you don't fully understand. That's why I said the difference between understanding and belief. You may not understand, but you just believe. Okay. Brother Dennis. No? Amen. Amen. It works. It works. Now, the problem is they'll say, well, that was mistranslated, all that kind of rough. And you're just going to have to just give them it and let it like a coal in their hand burn them. So they think about it. How could their Bible say he's almighty? Mm-hmm. I know. I read this, and we'll close with this thought. They know... They get 200,000 people a year join the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now they're losing them almost as fast as they're getting in. But 200,000 a year. Do you know how they get them? They go to 740 homes before they get one convert. 740. You know what they are? Determined. Can we not be at least determined? I'll say this. I'm a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit, but I'm also a tripart Christian. You ready? I have a Baptist head, I have a Pentecostal heart, and I have Jehovah's Witness feet. That's a balanced Christian. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to have a passion like a Pentecostal nut, but I have a Bible believing brain that keeps it all under control. Amen. And that's a balanced Christian in my book. So take a cue from Jehovah's Witnesses. Let's keep going. Well, nobody listens to them. They're listening. And they listen, if a Jehovah's Witness makes a convert to a cult, can't we make them a convert to Jesus Christ? Amen? Will we do that? All right.